Hi, and welcome to another episode of Tabletop Crowd. I'm Kristen, your host. Today, I am joined by Amanda Call, Banana Chan, and Austin Knight to discuss their upcoming game, Deimos Academy. Before we jump into all the questions I have about this amazing game, let's go around and introduce ourselves. So, Amanda, can we start with you?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Amanda Call, she, her, and you can find me on Twitter at Age of Knight.
Hey, I'm Austin. You can find me on Twitter at Sailor Scott Austin. That's at Sailor SCT Austin. My pronouns are he, they, she.
Hello, I am Banana, she, her, they, them. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BananaChanGames.
Well, I'm so glad you're all here today. Thank you so much for joining me to talk about this amazing game. Before we get into specific questions about the game, I'm curious to know how you all met and started working together.
That is a good question.
I'm not part of the origin story, so...
Long story. So initially this game was supposed to be based off of the Nutshell Studies by Francis Lee Glessner, which is a collection of dollhouses that depict murder scenes. So it's so realistic and so good and well laid out and everything that's being used. It was being used as case studies and tools for, I think it was like the FBI was using it for a while to like try to figure out murders and things. Later on down the line, I connected with Amanda and we started talking about like, what are we gonna do with this thing? Would you like to write, make, design, develop, illustrate, whatever, whatever you wanna do with this thing. And then I guess as the project grew, it sort of became like this boarding school theme. So it got shifted into like this new theme, which I think fits better with the mechanics. And then after that, we onboarded Austin to write for, you know, all the lore and like do design work and do development. And yeah, that's basically how we started working together, I think. Did I forget anything? I feel like
I was just on Twitter talking. So if anyone's listening to this, just like tweet, whatever. I was just on Twitter talking mad shit. Like, I want to write for a game. And Banana's like, what if you made a game? And I was like, haha, that would be cool. And then Banana slid in my DMs like, no, we're going to make a game together.
I think you misunderstood.
We'll meet Friday at 2:30. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's
a Chuck E. Cheese on the corner.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, Banana's going to have some pointers or whatever, you know, like, because I've written for two games. And one of them was a game Banana also wrote for. And I was like, well, Banana's going to have some pointers about like how to like make a full game or something. That's cool. What a great mentor this will turn. I didn't know Banana really. I was like, what a great mentor this will be. And this is like, I think Jiangxi just finished running on Kickstarter. So I was like, oh, this is like the person. And then like the meeting was Banana like, okay, here's the Google Doc and here's this whole game we're going to make. And I was like, yeah. I don't think I ever told Banana that I was like, not. I was in like, no way thinking I was about to like make a game. I was like, sure. And my partner was like, how was your meeting? I was like, I guess I'm making a game.
I'm sorry I dragged you into this mess.
No, it's been great. And then I got to meet Amanda, who I feel like we worked on it for like 4 or 5 months. And then you're like, hey, Amanda, I'm working on that game again. Also,
Right. So part of that too is that, Banana and I first started talking about working on this game, like, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And we're just like passing back and forth notes and sketches because I'm doing the artwork for the game. And that had always been like the thing I was going to do since it's a very visual component heavy game where the visual components are actually like part of what you manipulate to play the game. And so that was always the thing I was going to do. And we were kind of like sending notes and stuff back and forth and then both kind of got busy with other projects and it just kind of sort of just got backburnered for a while. And then Banana was like, hey, Austin's on the game now. And also we're going to actually start working on it, like working on it in earnest. The meeting is Friday.
I know all of you in some capacity and have a tremendous amount of respect for all of you. And so I figured that the origin story of you working together, this dream team, would be interesting. Should have known it would be super interesting. I really thought it was Austin and Banana who worked on it first. So yeah,
I just live here. I'm just vibing.
Along for the ride, and that's
I'm just chilling. They're like, write some creepy stuff about a school, and I was like, okay,
I can do that.
Yeah, done. Easy.
Speaking of creepy school, someone please tell our listeners what this game is about.
So Davis Academy is a horror tabletop role-playing game in a coloring book, and players are playing the adults that are returning back to their creepy old boarding school, and you're going through different rooms and you are rolling dice, 1d6, to see if the creepy thing comes out and tries to get you. And you also get to roll to try to collect memories. So in the game, the adults, because of the past traumas that they've experienced, or like, you know, whatever other like creepy thing that's happened in school, they've forgotten a lot of the stuff. So when they return, they're trying to recollect their memories, trying to see if they can regain some understanding of what this place is like.
What led to the coloring book aspect of it? Because that seems unique.
That was like one of the core things right from the beginning.
Oh yeah, it was.
That's one thing that has changed in the development of the game, but the coloring book aspect has not. That has been there from the very initial like idea that Banana ever contacted me about.
I think it was supposed to be just like, oh, we're just gonna do paper craft. It's really hard to do paper craft. Like, at least for me, I'm very bad at paper craft. Mm-hmm. And so like Amanda took on like a lot of the illustration and like basically all the design, like the physical
engineering. Yeah.
Engineering. Yes. That. I don't even know what to call it. So like just to make it easier for players to like, you know, put these pieces together and like, you know, make their little dolls.
Yeah.
But the original version was like a literal dollhouse, which with walls and everything, that was not going to work out.
I would have never been able. I would have like seen that and been like, that's cool. Not for me. Super not. I look at the like prototype paper. We have like prototypes for components of the game. And I was looking at those and I was like, how the fuck? Because you guys have like sent pictures of yours like cut out and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, how'd they make this stand up? I'm like, when the teacher used to make us like trifold for like your little name thing in the front, mm-hmm. I could never do it. I always had a friend do it. I would like make a tent and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, no, you put on legs. And then I put on legs and it'd be too low, or it would like slowly bow out. Oh.
That has been a thing in like physical play tests, which thankfully we've finally been able to do after mm-hmm. a very long time of not being able to physically play test our physical component coloring and cutting game.
Right.
It's frustrating. But it has been a thing in any of the play tests that I've run, is that there's always like one or two people who are like, I cannot with scissors and things. And a couple of other people who are like, don't worry. I got this. I will take care of the cutting for you. You worry about role-playing and coloring.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about this too is that like we've done a lot of online playtests mm-hmm. Through Google Slides, and it's somewhat similar in terms of playtesting, like playtesting mm-hmm. Digitally versus physically.
The game is similar, or the feedback is similar? Or both?
Both. Yeah, both. It's been like the feel of the game has been similar.
Yeah, the experience has been very similar. I was actually really surprised with the first physical playtest how little changed, when even though like, okay, now people are manipulating little pieces of paper, mm-hmm. but the actual game itself, like game session itself, was almost exactly the same as far as like the overall kind of like feel and flow of the experience hardly changed at all.
Yeah. Amanda, what was your inspiration for the art, and can you tell us a little bit about the art process? I'm sure it's like I'm sure that could be a whole different show, but anything you want to share, because I haven't had a lot of artists on, so I'd love to hear the process. You're laughing. Did I ask a bad
No, it's funny what we ultimately ended up with. So we wanted to still have like a we wanted it to be kind of creepy, but we didn't want it to be like distracting because we want players to be able to kind of bring their own tone to it. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and forth on a bunch of different designs of like, especially going off the initial like dollhouse type feel of like different kind of doll characters and everything. And the mm-hmm. rooms, I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to do because the idea was it's a coloring book. So you have, you know, nice clear lines, very simple shapes, try not to get too much detail in there so that people can read it easily and color in whatever they want to. But for the actual like people, we were having a hard time coming up with something that worked. Like we mm-hmm. had a lot of different ideas going around and I tried tons of different designs. And then ultimately during one of our meetings, I don't remember whether it was Banna or Austin, but one of y'all were like, what about like the People of Walmart coloring book?
I don't think that was me. Was I there for this?
I don't know.
I will say it sounds like a Banana idea. It was probably Banana who said that.
There's a People of Walmart coloring book?
Yeah, there is.
Are you sure I was present for this?
And
was
I like in my body? If you look up the images from it, you will see a very direct influence to what the paper dolls ultimately ended up looking like.
Like, well, oh, so sad.
Okay, so I guess everyone just has to look somewhat sad and despondent, and then but dressed nice. Okay, and that's ultimately where we ended up, and it worked great.
That's amazing. I did just Google the People of Walmart coloring book. It does exist, in case anyone didn't trust Amanda, which that's ridiculous. They never lie. That's very interesting. Okay,
that's ultimately where we landed, and it worked out just fine. It was just
that's perfect. I love that inspiration. So Austin, Banana mentioned that you did some of the writing or all of the writing and the lore. So can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that? Anything that, and I know no heavy spoilers, but anything that you can share about the
yeah,
lore?
Let me get out of this People Walmart coloring book.
That's for after the recording, Austin.
I'm sorry. Okay. Banana mentioned Chuck E. Cheese and tried to derail me earlier and I resisted. Then I got drawn in by People of Walmart coloring book. About the lore. It's creepy. What can I say? Re-ask your question, because I was definitely at the People of Walmart coloring book.
That's fair. And since we're on a tangent, I mean, I feel like if we can ever all get together, it needs to be at a Chuck E. Cheese with coloring books.
Okay, so hear me out. All right. So Chuck E. Cheese Summer Fun is the most cost-efficient way to have fun I have found all summer. For the low, low price of $70 US, you get 500 e-tickets that can go towards any prize. You can get an endless day of like arcade gaming because their games are timed now. You like buy a wristband and now instead of like, because like digital. So instead of like tokens, you buy like passes that have like a set amount of time on them or a set amount of games you can play. So you can get one time endless day of play. You get once a week, you can get one medium topping pizza with up to two toppings. It is an extremely efficient way to use your money as an adult. I'm just saying, not that I've done it. I just found out about it last week, or I would be. But at this point, it only lasts until like August. I don't know if it's worth it. Anyway, about the game.
I feel like to inform you that the closest Chuck E. Cheese to me is 160 miles away.
That is
I live
a travesty.
In the wilderness.
You know, they just got out of a bankruptcy and they're like tight for cash. You could probably get a franchise super cheap and just open it.
On
just
your property.
Open it, just like, yeah, open it on your, like, what are they like?
Yeah,
everyone's gonna come. There's
Everyone
the closest
will.
The closest Chuck E. Cheese is 100 miles away, and so is all of other. So is everything right. else.
So
to
it's
my
literally everything.
So everyone within a 52 mile radius will come to your Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, it's just gonna go. Your Chuck E. Cheese is gonna have the hookup. They're gonna have like AC and food. Like people gonna be at the Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese gonna be the spot.
Can I just say something? Austin, you have mentioned Chuck E. Cheese on multiple different interviews now.
Yes,
I think you need a sponsorship.
We need a sponsorship for Austin.
I have been
Chuck E. Cheese.
Fighting for a sponsorship for one Charles Entertainment Cheese. We've done two episodes of my podcast. He comes up once a month, at least. He came up this week, didn't plan on it. This pizza rat is haunting me. And listen, Charles Entertainment Cheese, you don't have to try this hard. I'm down. Let's do this. I listened to the whole summer concert tour.
Austin,
I am down with the pizza rat. I don't know why. Okay, I need to make a note for a quick start. That's Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Your knowledge of and passion for Chuck E. Cheese is unparalleled. And I think we need to start an online petition to get Austin sponsored by Chuck E. Cheese. It just... at this point, it feels like the next step.
It needs to happen.
I made a note to do a Chuck E. Cheese quick start for the game.
the headmaster is Chuck E.
Master Charles Entertainment.
Master Charles Entertainment.
No, the whole time it's just Master Charles until you get to the end and you realize it's a giant animatronic pizza rat voiced by the lead singer from Bowling for Soup.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
You asked me about the lore of the game. How did I come with lore for the game? I just made it creepy. I originally started with the creepiest thing I could think of in history, which is Elizabeth Bathory. And then I was like, so what if Elizabeth, so I love vampires, as most people probably know. I was like, what if Elizabeth Bathory was a vampire and ran a school? And that's, I just like went backwards from that because we didn't put like real history stuff in, but I went backwards from that to like, I think I had the school start in like unmarked time period or something. That's pretty much how I started. It was like, well, what would a school that was originally run by a vampire look like? And how would it get creepier over time? And that's kind of it. I don't know. I have a hard time talking about my writing process because I always feel bad because it's kind of like I just go do it.
Right.
Like I recently just got done putting in a pitch for the game Archon, I'm like announced that I'm on it, so that's fine. I just can't talk about what I pitched. But I like, the pitch was due as of this recording, like Sunday or something, and I wrote it like Saturday afternoon. And when I write game stuff or when I write poems, like I don't say, it goes out perfect and I don't like get stuff back to revise, especially writing on games, but like I just do it, which is why I have such respect for like artists, because I know like that's not how you like art, which is why I have a hard time when people try and call me an artist. I'm like, I don't know, I just write stuff. I just like put stuff on my head on paper and it feels very easy.
Sure.
And I know when you're like an illustrator, like Amanda, like you have something in your head, but it's not very easy to get it out of your head.
Different skill set, right?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. What, I mean, but you have inspiration, right? So you actually found an inspiration and then it just came easily for you. Who is your inspiration again? Because I don't recognize the name.
Elizabeth Bathory?
Why do I not know her?
She was a duchess. She was, it was like one of those people through history rumored to be a vampire because she,
That's cool.
I don't know if you want me to get into it because it's like creepy and gross and I don't know the content warnings of this show, but you can Google her on your own time. This content warnings for blood, obviously, because she was rumored to be a vampire.
Yeah.
She's just always stuck out to me. There was like a History Channel special about like vampires in history, and I always remembered like I can like see in my head like the episode playing out that was about her. I can like see the like actors and actresses like playing out the dramatizations of her life and stuff. And it's another one of those things where I'm like, I think she was like exiled to like a part of her estate and like locked in so she could not cause any harm. But it was the kind of thing where, like, I don't think they ever buried her.
Oh.
And so I'm like, what if she, like, got out and set up a creepy boarding school for her, like, creepy occult stuff?
That's very cool. That's very cool inspiration.
So it was mainly, I wanted to make a game about vampires, because I'm always trying to make something about vampires. But Banana gave me a game. And I was like, I can't say no. I'll just find a way to shoehorn in one vampire thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the fears on the table is vampires.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm letting absolutely anyone out there, if you hire me for a thing, I will try to put a thing in about vampires.
Welcome back to Beholder to One Shot, an actual play show under the banner of Beholder to No One, where we usually play non-D&D one shots.
Is a conglomeration of many Furbies.
Oh, 15.
Dang it.
We're two baby adventurers.
We're level 4.
Is that the right direction?
Shh. Oh, wait. We're speaking telepathically. Yeah,
Search your feelings. You know it to be true that one of you has a really annoying voice.
No.
Note it.
Each of you roll a doy and explain why I shouldn't be the one to stomp you if you like get an extra doy for that.
I got a 6.
There's a good reason.
A 5.
That's also pretty good.
Got a 4.
Slightly.
That's
good.
Okay.
I made it to another town, but it's not stopping. Is it me? Am I causing this? Am I the reason? And they go into ramblings of a person who thinks that they are the one that is causing this chaos. Check us out wherever podcasts can be found every other Thursday on Beholder to No One.
One of the things that's cool about the game is that we actually don't have set whatever the thing is, whatever the big scary thing is, that is in the school is not actually predetermined. That's something that's determined by the players throughout the course of the game. So it's not like, so it could be vampires. It could be lots of vampires or one big scary vampire, or it could be lots of other different things.
It's kind of like It. But not really, because we didn't have the IP for it.
I feel like every time we play tested, it's been something slightly the same, but very different.
Yeah.
It's always been some like some kind of like Eldritch thing that's like, I'm not like a statted out monster. I am like what the fear of rain looks like or something.
Yeah. Do players build their big bad based on their fears?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I remembered that from playing, but
their character's fears, not their player, like the player's actual fears.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. That's a very good distinction. Thank you. I meant the character's fears. Absolutely.
Please don't use your real fears. I guess you can, but like if you're going to use your real fears, don't call us about having a really bad nightmare. We outline pretty explicitly not to use your fears in the book several times.
Oh, I like that. As a safety tool or as a guide? Like, not don't use your own fear. Okay.
It's more of like a guide. We have a whole section on calibration, though this is a collaborative TTRPG, just to set expectations so that players know what they're getting themselves into. One thing, Austin, I just remembered, we also did a lot of interviews with folks who went to boarding school.
We did. That was your idea. Oh. That's right.
So
were those helpful?
I mean, it was helpful for me because I went to the same boarding school as them.
I found it super interesting. I don't know a lot about that. Because one of the things me and Banana talked about when we were just like writing stuff was like schooling and the idea of like what that kind of culture can give and take from people. Because I went to like a private school K-8 and one weird thing for me has always been like my private school experience was, I'd say, like net positive.
That's great.
But I know a lot of people who had net negative private school experiences or neutral. I didn't know anything about boarding school. I just heard like horror stories. And so it was very helpful for me as someone like, I know what like, in general, like how boarding schools are supposed to be bad, but I've never been to one and I've not even had like a negative like private school experience, which is like kind of close to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amanda, did you think they were helpful as well?
I don't think I've actually seen these interviews. I've just seen parts of the transcripts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the parts of the transcripts were enlightening because, yeah, that's not something I only have ever been in public school. And
same.
Like really underfunded rural public school at that. So more like daycare.
Daycare, K through 12. So I want to go back real quick to the rooms because I know that part of the game are these folks who are go back to their boarding school, then they're trapped at their boarding school, correct? Mm-hmm. And exploring or adventuring and therefore moving through different rooms. So can someone tell us maybe what types of different things they experience in a room?
Yes. All right. So when you go into a room, there are several items in each room. So each room has different items and the player will choose whichever item that their character is drawn to the most. Once they get to that item, they will roll a die to determine, you know, if they can recollect a memory from touching this item, from like, you know, being in the room, whatever, you know, whatever's happening to them at that time. And then on a success, they remember something. They also gain a fear, which they write onto their character sheet. But then they also get to color in the item in the room. If they roll like a medium success, which is like a 3 or 4, then they still color in the item, but they don't get to collect a memory. And then if they fail at the thing, then they rip up the memory. So these memories are written on cards before the game even starts. So all the players, they write down, you know, one good memory, one bad memory, and one scary memory on a deck of cards. And then during the game, if, you know, you roll 1 or 2, then you would rip up the top card of that deck.
Oh, wow. And do you shuffle them? So it could be a good memory, bad memory, or scary memory?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it could be anything that you're drawing. And then at the very end, once everyone's had their turn, they've had a chance to like do some flashback scenes, you know, play out some scenes as they're like recalling stuff. They all roll the die again, simultaneously this time. So everyone rolls 1d6. And whoever gets the lowest roll will determine what their fear is in the room. So the person who rolls the lowest puts their fear in the room, it manifests in that room, and they get to draw the thing in the room itself. Or they can use, like, if they don't feel like drawing, they can use the prompts that have been colored in, the items that have been colored in as prompts for what they see or what happens in the room.
I really like that because I am similar to Austin. I actually don't know Austin's coloring skills and I don't want to not give him credit. But I also cannot fold like a name card. And if I have to draw or color something in front of people, it gives me like nervousness, mild anxiety. And so I love that you are not forced to draw something. You can easily just stay in the fun of the game and be comfortable and instead use a prompt. Is that what you said? Or an item?
Yeah. So the items that get colored in, you could just basically say, oh, I see something that's picking up this pen, or I see this note get caught on fire or something like that. And like, you know, in its place is like, a bunch of bugs or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever the fear is.
Whatever the fear is.
Yeah. And then at the very end, once these fears have been revealed in each room, those fears get collected and they manifest in the final room, which is a maze that the players have to try and escape.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we adjusted.
That's cool. Yeah, that's very cool. How is there like, do you provide mazes in the game or... Yes. Okay.
Yes. So it is a maze, like a actual maze that you're just like going through.
Yeah.
And players have to use their little paper dolls to try and get out of the maze. And there are slots, right? So it's sort of like a board game where dependent on how much they roll, they get to advance X many slots.
Mm-hmm.
And then X many spaces. And along the way, they'll pass a bunch of prompts. And these are like questions, right? So these questions they can answer, they can choose whatever question they land on. And at the very end, if they don't get to escape this maze, then they'll get a certain outcome.
That's very cool. Yeah, I didn't play that version. That sounds like a cool addition at the end. I think at the end of our game, we ended up fighting. Our big bad was based on our character's fear. And so I think it was a large porcelain clown.
Yes. Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. There was something else about it, but it was like porcelain dolls was someone's, a character fear, as was clowns. And so we ended up fighting that. That big bad. So it would be cool to have the addition of having to go through some sort of maze before you get to your big bad, like an extension.
Oh, the maze is the big bad that you're escaping.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And we also have renamed big bad to manifestations because it sounds creepier.
It does. Man, I will try to use manifestations from here on out.
Manifestation.
So then it sort of blends into like the word manifest, like if you're manifesting something good, but at the same time, what if you're manifesting something scary? I don't know.
Yeah, right. That was kind of the idea, is that you have your fears have manifested into something very bad.
Can we talk about Amanda's cover?
Please, let's talk about Amanda's cover.
Oh, geez. So Amanda did not set out to do the cover.
Oh, interesting. Was
like, if I could not do the cover, that would be okay, I think. And we're like, wouldn't it?
Banana had a couple of artists specifically in mind.
We're not going to name who it is.
No, we're not going to name who it is. But there were artists in mind that we reached out to, and either we didn't hear back from, or they were busy, or whatever else. Didn't work out. Sure. And we were getting to the point of like, we need to figure out what we're doing for a cover. This needs to be resolved in some manner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I kind of have an idea, given what we're doing, of like what I think would make a cool treatment for the cover. And it was the idea of doing like a photo collage. So like the surrealists especially did a lot of photo collage, where they would take like otherwise pretty innocuous photographs and mash them together, cut them up and mash them together into really creepy collages. And I was like, I think like surrealist photo collage would be a really cool way to do the cover, given the subject matter. And we could very easily find like a lot of old photographs and maps and other and book covers and other public domain assets that would make for a nice creepy atmospheric cover for this. And then we still didn't have anyone to do it, so then I just did it.
It's basically amazing.
It's basically how that went. Lacking any other idea or option, I ended up doing it.
There it is.
But the cover is so good.
Is that the one that's on Twitter?
Yes.
Y'all shared on Twitter a few weeks ago, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Is it four people standing in front of the gates of the school with their backs to the camera?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did really like that.
It's incredible.
I'm glad that everybody likes how it turned out. I was just kind of panicking through most of it, but I think I made it work in the end.
You cannot tell.
So good.
Yeah.
Amazing. Classic. Wonderful.
I appreciate that, Austin.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm most excited about with the when the Kickstarter's here is for everyone to see this video Banana made for
it's so good.
Promo.
So
my conversation piece recently is like, look at this, to like friends and family. I was like at my baby shower, like, hey, you want to see this video?
Look at this.
I had like a cousin come over, and I was like, hey, what have you been up to? And I like just slid my phone over playing the video. And I'm like, no, I didn't make that. It's like the most exciting thing in my life right now.
But you need to see it.
Yeah. Aww. It is perfectly. So, because we had like a meeting about like, we need all the stuff when the Kickstarter is ready. I've never been a part of a Kickstarter ever in my whole life.
Sure.
And so when I was like, yeah, we need like the video that plays at the top. And I was like, right, there's a bit. So I feel bad. I've never watched anyone's Kickstarter video.
Yeah.
I just keep scrolling. I'm like, I don't have time for I don't know why, because it would tell me all the stuff I'm reading much quicker. But I was like, oh yeah, they all have videos. That makes sense. And I did not know how hard Banana was gonna bring it. I was like, like she asked for like some notes, And I was like, I mean, I'm like, kind of like this. And then what a banana produced, I'm like, that is exactly what was in my head. Who gave you that? That is like, it sounds exactly like what I said. That looks exactly how we talked about. Who, how did you do that? How did you do that? Banana, how did you do that, banana? This is my interview now.
I have an Adobe subscription.
Adobe steals your thoughts, confirmed.
Apparently.
Sponsor me, Adobe.
That's what you actually pay Adobe subscription prices for, is the ability to steal people's thoughts.
Hey, it's worth it.
I'm signing up right now as we're talking. Also, I feel like we have a sponsorship pitch for Austin, a sponsorship pitch for Banana now with Adobe. Amanda, who, this is shoot your shot. Who would you like to sponsor you?
I've been drinking a sparkling water. Can I just get like free sparkling water? This is like while I subsist on.
Is that Aha? Uh-huh?
It is Aha. Uh-huh.
Eh.
So all right, Aha, you heard it here.
You could do their labels.
It's so good. I mean, that would be really cool.
These special Amanda labels. You have, they'd be like, Amanda.
I have never heard of or tried Aha, but I will now, thanks to Amanda Call.
It's very good.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to buy a whole case because Amanda said.
You just say that when you're checking out to the grocery. And like, I'm buying two. Like, I don't know. Who are, please
what
just
are
give
you
me
talking
your card.
About?
Please just give me your card.
The best thing is I'm not going to edit any of this interview.
Hope you don't do it. This is all gold.
Leave all of this nonsense.
It's all gold. It's all. You all are amazing, which again, I knew. I'm happy, not surprised at home, how amazing you all are. I did want to ask, and you obviously don't have to share a lot of details if you don't want to, but is there anything you can share about what the backers who back at a physical level will receive in the game?
Yes. So backers who back at the physical level can receive two books. So you have your coloring book, which has all the rooms, it has all the tearaway sheets, it has the character sheets, it has like all the details of how to play. And it also sort of like gives you basic instructions on how to play the game. So it's very user-friendly. It sort of just like gives you a list of instructions of like what to do. On top of that, you also get a rule book. So the rule book is the book that has Amanda's amazing cover on it. And it has like all the details of like how to play, what the calibration tools are, the lore, everything in it. Versus the coloring book that's like, it's designed to look like a yearbook, which I'm very excited about because the cover looks like a yearbook.
That's awesome. Are there any stretch goals that you can share, or is that all going to be a big mystery surprise?
So we do have stretch goals. Currently, the stretch goals are other writers. So we have three scenario writers that we're planning on adding to this project as well. Mm-hmm. And we're also thinking about having bookmarks made. So it has like the school's logo and everything like that. We have talked about custom dice, but granted a lot of stuff has been going on with manufacturing. So that's a little more iffy now. So we're not too sure about that, but everything else, like the scenario writers, bookmarks, that's definitely mm-hmm. happening.
That sounds cool. I mean, everyone loves dice. I love dice, but I think that anytime you can add scenarios, especially by other talented folks and also bookmarks, that sounds pretty awesome. So, at the time you're listening to this, audience, the Kickstarter will be live. It's in the show notes. So please go check it out. If you cannot back it for some reason, then at least share it with your friends because it's absolutely worth having. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining me today. It was lovely talking with all of you.
Yeah. So like I said before, you can find me on Twitter at Age of Night, Instagram at Amanda Call Art. And you can always check out my webcomic, which is the big project I'm always working on, which is at ageofnight.com. That's AGEOFNIGHT.com.
Hey, I'm Austin. You can find me on Twitter at Sailor Scott Austin. That's at Sailor SCT Austin. You can find me on my podcast. We air every Wednesday. We are Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries. Me and my very good friend Brenda talk about kind of whatever we want. It's our show. Each week we switch off topics. So like one time Brenda covered like a game called Nightwatch, which was on the Sega Genesis, which led to the ESRB for video games. And then like the time after that, I covered like Space Jam because I wanted to, because I know a lot about the movie Space Jam. Did you know there was the first Space Jam sequel they tried to make was going to star Tony Hawk?
What?
We almost had a Tony Hawk Space Jam. There was almost a Jackie Chan Space Jam. I don't know what that one was gonna like revolve around. They pitched a lot of different ones. The last one was Tony Hawk, and they made it like all the way to pre-production. And then the studio said, never mind. Tony Hawk was like super ready for it.
Oh, poor Tony.
Sorry, Tony.
The fact we were the fact we don't live in reality where you have Space Jam with Tony Hawk in it is illegal. anyway, on that, the less secret history of nerd secret histories of nerd mysteries, you can find us wherever you get podcasts. And then when you're listening to this, I'm not on it, but usually every Monday I'm on Mind and the Martyr over on Friends Roll Dice channel, which airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, and do your math from 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. I'm bad at time math. Just you figure it out with where you live. But as you're listening to this, I'm probably not on it because I just became a parent most likely. So go check out Mind and Martyr though. Support them, and I'll be back eventually. And you'll only know if you're watching or follow me on Twitter. So,
and thank you so much for having us. This was super fun. Again, my name is Banana Chan, and you can find me on Twitter at Banana Chan Games. I do a lot of game design stuff, publishing stuff, writing stuff. You can find Deimos Academy sometime in September, and you can also find my next Kickstarter after that with Sadia Bees on Kickstarter in October. That's being published by Pelgrane Press, and that is called The Suburban Consumption of the Monstrous. So that is a LARP anthology that we are putting together for Kickstarter in October.
Hey, Amber here. I would like to thank you so much for listening to Tabletop Babble, Tabletop Crowd, and Tabletop Spotlight, all the tabletop things that we have going on here lately. For show news, announcements, updates, and all that jazz, you can follow us on Twitter at Tabletop Babble. Also, it would be really, really helpful if you left us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help the show out a lot. Anyway, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.